The marshlands of South Carolina form more than just the backdrop of the Prince of Tides. They become the living, breathing metaphor for the Wingo family's existence. "My wound is geography," declares Tom Wingo in the opening lines, establishing immediately how place and identity intertwine in this Southern Gothic tale. The tidal rivers and salt marshes witness the family's joys and horrors alike, becoming both sanctuary and prison. These waters, sometimes nurturing, sometimes destructive, always in motion, mirror the emotional currents that pull the Wingos through cycles of violence, love, and redemption. The Wingo family thrives on contradiction. Henry Wingo embodies this duality perfectly. On his shrimp boat, he becomes competent, respected, even gentle with his children. "Only on the river were we safe with him," Tom reflects. Yet on land, his saddam touch transforms everything he touches into failure, his frustration erupting in explosive violence. Lila Wingo presents herself as refined despite humble origins, revising her own history and manipulating her children by taking each into her confidence separately. "By dividing us with these private confessions," Tom explains, "she established control over all three children." The siblings respond differently. Luke becomes the warrior, Savannah develops extraordinary creativity alongside psychological fragility, and Tom positions himself as the mediator whose apparent stability masks deep wounds. Memory, both preserved and suppressed, forms the novel's central tension. Savannah suffers from white intervals, periods where her memories vanish completely. "I had no memory of bringing Rose Astor to my bed," she confesses to Tom as a child. She begs Tom to become the twin that remembers, while meticulously keeping journals to document her experiences. Tom employs a different strategy, strategic forgetting. "For years, I avoided the truth about my childhood, finding refuge in forgetfulness," he admits. His selective amnesia serves as both shield and prison. When Savannah attempts suicide, Tom must painfully excavate their shared past to help her psychiatrist understand her breakdown. The novel suggests memory itself can be both poison and medicine. When Tom finally reveals their central childhood trauma, the day three escaped convicts invaded their home and sexually assaulted the family, he describes how their mother forced them into a pact of silence. "We honor this pact of denial," Tom explains, "never speaking of it even among ourselves." This enforced forgetting becomes a second trauma, driving Savannah toward madness while Tom retreats into emotional numbness. In Colleton County, appearances govern life so deeply that small social slights trigger generational vendettas. When the prestigious Colleton League Cookbook Committee rejects Tom's mother, she responds dramatically to their later charity obliterating their Thanksgiving turkey with a shotgun while instructing her children to remember what they're all like, remember every damn one of their faces. Racial tensions emerge through Benji Washington's integration of Colleton High School. His daily walk through hallways where hatred prowled like an invisible gas symbolizes the broader civil rights struggle. Yet Conroy shows how Benji's athletic prowess gradually transforms community attitudes. The town's relationship with Mr. Fruit, a black traffic director, reveals the South's complex handling of difference. The community embraces his elaborate, unnecessary performances with a mix of tolerance and condescension. As Tom's grandmother explains without irony, "That's the Southern way. That's the nice way." These stories illustrate how Southern society maintains order through pride, performance, and prejudice. Where social transgressions meet theatrical responses, change arrives through unexpected channels, and acceptance often masks deeper forms of control. The novel explores masculinity across generations through three distinct models. Tom's grandfather, Amos, represents gentle, spiritual manhood rooted in faith and kindness. Despite his embarrassing Good Friday ritual of carrying a cross through town, he never raises his hand in anger. His strength manifests in compassionate acts, tending injured animals, teaching children to read, and feeding strangers. Henry Wingo embodies toxic masculinity shaped by childhood neglect. Having felt invisible growing up, he considers a slap to the face a Valentine delivered. His love is awkward and deviant, expressed through control rather than tenderness. Yet Conroy avoids portraying Henry as a simple villain, revealing his vulnerability in quiet moments, his trembling hands when comforting his wife, and his desperate need for his father's approval. Tom struggles between these contradictory examples. As a football coach, he teaches that losing well offered wisdom, while winning well built authentic manhood. Yet his marriage reveals his emotional limitations, withdrawing during difficulties and using humor to avoid intimacy. His wife eventually confronts him. "I don't know what happened to the fighter I married." Throughout the novel, storytelling functions as both diagnostic tool and healing practice. When Tom shares his family history with Dr. Lowenstein, he discovers previously unrecognized patterns. The act of narration becomes therapeutic, helping him integrate fragmented memories into a coherent whole. Similarly, Savannah's poetry transforms trauma into art, her collection, The Shrimper's Daughter, reworking painful childhood experiences into verse that resonates widely. The novel also examines the dangers of false narratives. Savannah's children's book, The Southern Way, reimagines the convict attack as a magical tale where animals protect three sisters. Tom criticizes this beautification of evil, insisting artists must tell the truth, even when painful. This healing demands sacrifice. Colleton becomes as extinct as Pompeii, surrendered to government interests. The Wingo family's ancestral island disappears beneath the waters of progress. Luke, most resistant to change and deeply rooted in tradition, dies defending his homeland, a stark metaphor for the price of progress. Tom's relationship with Dr. Lowenstein represents both the possibility and cost of transformation. Their affair awakens him from emotional numbness, but cannot last. It bridges his old life and new understanding, yet must end for healing to complete. True transformation, the novel suggests, often requires releasing the very identities that once defined us. In the novel's final scenes, Tom watches his family reunite on his father's new shrimp boat, a moment heavy with symbolism. His children meet their grandfather for the first time, bridging a once insurmountable generational gap. Savannah's embrace of her father carries years of pain and forgiveness. The boat becomes a symbol of redemption, a vessel carrying this wounded family toward healing. This reconciliation doesn't erase trauma, but suggests the possibility of moving forward with greater awareness. The scars remain, but become markers of survival rather than just sources of pain. The family's gathering on the water creates powerful symmetry, suggesting that cycles of pain can be transformed. Savannah's cry, "Oh, Mama, do it again," connects the adult woman to the child who once watched her mother make the moon appear in water. This moment suggests that even amid trauma, wonder and connection sustain us. The tides retreat but always return, bringing both destruction and renewal, much like the Wingo family's own story. Perhaps this is the novel's most profound truth. Our wounds never fully heal, but they can become sources of wisdom if we face them honestly.